Welcome to Enjoying Everyday Life with New York Times bestselling author Joyce Meyer. On today's program, Joyce will be teaching from her series, Who is God? There are many names of God found in the Bible, each one revealing his character and promises for our life. He is the great I Am. He's everywhere and knows everything. God is all we will ever need, and best of all, he wants a close relationship with all of us. Now, here's Joyce with today's teaching.
And you know, we tell people all the time it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance, and that is absolutely true. But let me tell you something. We can't just do nothing but teach to people about the goodness of God and not share with them what's on the other side if they don't make right decisions now. And see, you would have clapped louder if I would have said, God loves everybody and he's merciful and forgiving and kind. And man, see, you're already like, ah. And he is. He is. He's all those things. But the Bible says if the righteous are barely saved, what in the world is going to happen to the unrighteous? And so, you know, I don't normally take a whole message and just turn it into an evangelistic message, but I felt really strongly tonight that in addition to helping us to know who God is, that I just want to say to people around the world, we don't know how much time we have. And please open up your heart to God and learn to know who he really is, because you will never be sorry if you do. I mean, I have no idea what I would do without God. Now, the good news is, in John 3:18, that those of us who are saved, who have received Christ as our Savior, the Bible says, he who believes in him. How many of you believe in him? Awesome. He who believes in him, who clings to, trusts in, and relies on him. You see, that's what a real believer does. They cling to, trust in, and rely on him, is not judged. He who trusts in him never comes up for judgment. That judgment day is going to be totally different for us. We're not going to be judged regarding salvation because we already believe, and that's all secured for us by the grace of God. There will come a time when every man will be judged for their works and given rewards accordingly. That's a different time. And I personally, when I get there, don't still want to be in kindergarten. I want to be like a college professor or something. I want to be, you know, way up the line up there. This is so comforting. For him, there is no rejection. You can never be rejected if you're a believer. There is no condemnation. He incurs no damnation. But he who does not believe, cleave to, rely on, and trust in him is judged already. He has already been convicted and has already received sentence because he has not believed and entrusted in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He is condemned for refusing to let his trust rest in Jesus Christ. What are you going to put your trust in these days? The bank? Your retirement fund? Your 403B? Your 401K? Your friends? Yourself? That's not very stable either, amen? And I'm not trying to be insulting. I mean, I can't put my trust in myself because sometimes I do things that shock even me. Do you ever just like, I can't believe I did that. I cannot believe I said that. I cannot believe I acted like that. I cannot believe I did that. So I've learned that I can't even really fully trust me. We have to put our trust in the name of God. Don't put your trust in the bank account. Put your trust in God. Now, I am that I am. He's without beginning and without end. God wasn't born and he can't die. He had no parents. He's it. The all-powerful one who depends on nothing and no one. He is self-sufficient. When Jesus came walking to the disciples on the sea, they were frightened. They were out in a boat out in the middle of the sea, and he came walking on the water. They thought it was a ghost. And his answer to them was, why are you afraid? I am. I love that. Anytime that fear comes against you, stop for a moment and say, he's here. He's here. When you wake up in the morning, before you ever put your feet on the floor, take just a moment and say, he's here. He's with me right now. And he's everything that I need all day long. I am is here. I'm not going to preach you a message tonight about what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And those are all good too. And they're for another time. But tonight I want to help you know who he is and that he is for you and not against you. That he loves you and he's got a good plan for your life. And there's nothing wrong in your life that he is not delighted to fix. The Bible says that all things consist in him and are held together by him. What in the world is holding this world that is so messed up together? I would think that it would just blow apart from the stress, but God is holding everything together. Who keeps the sun in the sky? What keeps it from falling down and burning us up? What keeps it from getting too hot one day and just giving us all a suntan way beyond what we could endure? Think about it. How is this thing all running and staying together? To me, I would think even a dumb person could figure out that there's got to be something other than some goofy cell that crawled up on a beach at some point, and all of a sudden now, you know, that eventually became a monkey and an ape, and then here we are. And, you know, the thing I don't understand is if we evolved from apes, why are there still apes? What happened to them? I mean, does some just get left out of the evolving? And if they did, I bet they're ticked off. To me, it would take more faith to be an atheist than to be a Christian. I mean, I would need a lot of faith for that. Awesome. Man, I tell you, when you can just cozy up with God, say thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, thank you for living in me, thank you for loving me, for forgiving me, for being my friend, then you can go out of your house and you can believe I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let me tell you something. When you know who he is, you don't have to walk around with your head hanging down thinking, oh, I just hope I can make it through the day. I just don't know. And you know, people have serious problems going on. I mean, there are people that traveled here with us that have had some tragic things happen in just the last 2 weeks. And here they are ministering to you. God enables us to have a peace that passes understanding. And even when we are unable to help ourselves in our own problems, he will still anoint us to reach out beyond ourselves and help somebody else. And then God brings a harvest in our lives by then helping us with our problems. That's why it's so foolish to spend all your time trying to fix yourself. And then I love Hebrews 1:3. He maintains, upholds, and propels the universe. Wow. Well, you know, it's not just gravity does this. Well, where did gravity come from? A Russian astronaut went to space, looked out his window, and supported his atheistic view by saying, God cannot be real because we cannot see him. Yet this same man believes in gravity, which cannot be seen either. I don't see electricity, but I'm sure making use of it. I don't understand all the mechanism of breathing, but I'm partaking right now. Amen? And just because you can't see God, if you would open your eyes and just have a little bit of childlike faith, you could begin to see him everywhere you go. I see God every spring when everything that was stone dead, not a leaf, not a bit of life in it anywhere, and all of a sudden, in just like a week or two, everything's flowers and blooming and leaves and green. Oh, well, that's just nature. Yeah, well, where did that come from? You can't back up far enough to not finally have to run into God. In the beginning, God. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And guess what? He is everything in between. And he is our God. I love what the Bible says. This God is our God. He is your God. He's just not some God. He is our God. How could you not want to know this God that I'm talking about? How could anybody not be excited about knowing him? I don't know. Yeah, you better pray for me to be able to stay on the earth this weekend. I'm pretty excited. God is a mystery. He cannot be figured out. You can't see him, but you can see the result of his work everywhere. He's the God that parted the Red Sea. He's the God that brought manna in the wilderness day after day after day. It rained bread out of heaven. He's the God who fed 5,000 people with a little boy's lunch. I see God all the time when all the bills are consistently paid at Joyce Meyer Ministries, and they're higher than I even know how to count. I have no idea how I'm doing what I'm doing. So I have to say, it's got to be God. It couldn't possibly be anything else. Oral Roberts, who's gone home to be with the Lord, did a sermon and wrote a book many years ago called Don't Give Up, and in it he talked about who is this fourth man in the fiery furnace. And if you're familiar with the book of Daniel, you know that Daniel was thrown into a fiery furnace Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into a fiery furnace because they refused to bow down and worship the wicked king. God tells us to worship him and him alone and not to bow to any other. And the king said, if you don't bow to me, instead of this God that you serve, then I am going to throw you into this fiery furnace. And so they refused to bow, and sure enough, he threw them into the fiery furnace. And the Bible says that he even turned it up 7 times hotter than it was before, which I find interesting because they made the right decision, which was not to compromise. And sometimes when you do the right thing, you feel like the furnace got turned up even hotter. And so then you're like, well, I sure don't understand this. I did the right thing, and now look. I know years ago when I felt like God was calling me into ministry, and I had a full-time job, and Dave had a full-time job, and we didn't really have any money struggles. We had learned how to tithe. Dave was taught that when he was growing up, and we'd always been doing that. And, you know, we didn't have any money struggles. And when God started dealing with me about quitting my job, because I had no time. I didn't know anything. God was calling me to teach, and I didn't know anything, and I had 3 kids. I couldn't take off and go to Bible college, so I needed to study. I felt like God calling me to arrange my life in such a way where I could study and learn something. I had learned enough of the Word to see that there were answers in there for every problem that we have, and I needed time to dig them out. And so I felt that God was telling me to quit my job, and so I kind of did a not obedience, but a sacrifice thing. I quit my job and got a part-time job. And I look back now and I think it's so funny because I offered God part-time obedience, partial obedience. And you know what? God is never going to be satisfied with that. So I was a good employee. I worked hard. I usually got promoted. Everybody liked me. I got my part-time job and got fired. I mean, it was supernaturally bad. I mean, everything that I touched, I tore it up. I broke the bookkeeping machine. I mean, it was just like a nightmare. Well, it didn't take long, and I'm figuring out God really does not want me to work. But I didn't know how in the world that we were going to pay our bills. I just couldn't figure out how we were going to do that.
It's possible for us to become intimately acquainted with God Almighty, the creator of the universe. There are many names of God, and each one of them talks about a facet of his character or describes something he does. He's our healer, peace, and provider. He's our victory banner, righteousness, and refuge in the storm. He gives wisdom and knowledge and all the strength we'll need. Thank you for listening to Enjoying Everyday Life. Your partnership with Joyce Meyer Ministries allows us to share the love of Christ around the world.